This podcast brought to you by LG, making your life easier. LG, life's good.
Now, Nick, you should be excited about driverless cars.
Yes.
Because they'll save you and all of your mankind the embarrassment of having to drive a Prius.
That's it. I can sit back, relax, and let someone else take care of the drive home for me.
In fact, they'll save a lot of things. Lives, for starters. Driverless cars are predicted to save thousands of people in Australia alone from dying in road accidents. And they'll save fuel, they'll save travel time. But it's not all roses and chocolates, is it? The introduction of driverless cars will complicate things for a while. How will they coexist with cars being driven by unreliable bags of meat, i.e. you and me? And here's an interesting thought. What will the insurance industry do? If a driverless car has a crash, who's at fault?
Yes.
It can't be the driver, can it?
Very interesting.
Kane Blackman is a spokesman with the Insurance Commission of Western Australia. They'll be unpacking this issue at the second International Driverless Vehicle Summit to be held later this year. And Kane joins us now on Talking Technology. G'day, Kane.
G'day, Trevor. G'day, Nick.
How G'day. You? Good, thanks, mate.
Really well. I suppose this creates an interesting dilemma for insurance companies. In car accidents, it's largely all about who's at fault, because the driver at fault pays for the damage. But if no driver's at fault, who the heck's going to pay?
Yeah, that's right. Most motor injury insurance schemes around Australia are based on that principle of liability, that the injured person is compensated when something's done to them by another driver. And, of course, if autonomous vehicles at their level 5 capability don't have a driver, it does raise the question of who is at fault. And I think there's an expectation, really, that motorists have that there will be a party at fault, and that party could be the autonomous vehicle manufacturer, the supplier of that vehicle, the part providers, potentially even the owner, if they don't update their software as per the manufacturer's instructions.
Now, if driverless cars are involved in fewer accidents, I don't want to blow your mind being in the insurance industry, but will we even need insurance? Because fewer accidents in the longer term, if any, should mean less payouts, and it all gets better for the consumer.
Yeah, that's an exciting possibility, and one that we're actually looking forward to that outcome. You mentioned before about less crashes being predicted. There's a McKinsey report which came out to say accident rates could eventually drop up to 90%, indicating that 90% of up to 90% of crashes are caused by human error. Of course, there'll be some time before those benefits are realised, presumably some decades, and the risk during the mixed fleet period could in fact be higher, and we see higher accident rates when people become accustomed to sharing roads with driverless vehicles.
So drivers, as you say, cause most accidents. So if a driverless car is involved in a prang, there's going to be computer systems. Oh, I saw a thing on Channel 9 News tonight about a bloke whose Tesla Model X, the doors just opened up and they were smashed off by a truck. Irrelevant to driverless cars, but it was all about the investigation. The company, Tesla, was able to look at the computer system and say, he had the button and he pressed it, or vice versa. So won't the investigation of accidents be even more complex in the future?
It'll be just as critical as it is now when it's there's a requirement for vehicle manufacturers and suppliers to provide products that are safe, free from defects, and fit for purpose. That's part of Australian consumer law. And as you know, if there's a faulty airbag or someone disc brakes on a car fail, there is an investigation, and the company that provides those products or repairs those products has that liability. So the investigation in the future will be equally as important.
And so can you see a time in the future, potentially even closer than, the 20 years, but, and maybe even not to the level 5 period, but can you see a future where insurance companies will in fact be suing vehicle manufacturers instead of at-fault drivers?
Yeah, it'll be an exciting possibility, firstly, that we won't require some of the insurances in the many decades ahead if that's the case. And I think there'll be an expectation by those customers that those companies that are providing those equipment and vehicles will be responsible themselves. The regimes for the future haven't been worked out in each state and territory at the moment. Yeah. We do know those regimes are different today.
Yeah.
No one system is the same. So a model could be consumers deal directly with the autonomous vehicle manufacturers and suppliers. We see that with mass transport instances in the airline sector and in trains and bus travel as well.
So it's interesting because I know Audi, I don't know if you're aware, Audi announced a new car a couple of months ago, the Audi A8 in Europe, and it has very high levels of autonomous capabilities, freeway driving predominantly. And they say they are the first car manufacturer to accept liability for their vehicles in those correct circumstances. So on a freeway, in their cruise control, if you want to call it, mode, they accept responsibility for any damage. We're going to have to start hearing that before from all manufacturers before we can even trust that a car is genuinely autonomous, I would have thought.
That's spot on. I think that comes down to that social license to operate of those vehicles in our society. And it's not just Audi. We put a submission, we being the Insurance Commission of Western Australia, put a submission into a Commonwealth Standing Committee inquiry on autonomous vehicles. And we pointed out that Mercedes, Google and Volvo have also made public statements about accepting liability in certain circumstances. And it's not clear exactly what that looks like at the moment, but it's certainly a positive step by those vehicle suppliers.
Mm. I wonder what other industries are you guys looking at as a guide to what might be possible with cars? For example, I accept that, you know, passenger jets don't fly autonomously, but there are points in their flight routine when they are on autopilot. Do you look to that kind of scenario as a guide to what could be possible?
I think you need to look at those sectors, certainly. We also look internationally and seeing what America and the UK are doing. And we also look at the other parts of Australia, the other motor injury insurance schemes and how they're approaching this. And, of course, looking at case law around acceptance of liability for product failures and ideal compensation schemes. So each state and territory needs to look at all those things and have those robust discussions with their government and put the advice up in order for this a scheme to be developed in the future.
It really is a robust robot discussion, really, isn't it, when you break it down? We are talking robots here.
And there's a lot more into it too, because when you talk insurance, you've got to talk about insurance, about hacking, there's cyber attacks, there's a range of things that your industry would need to be across and aware of before you even come close to not even solving this problem. But it's an interesting one to be discussing now. And as we mentioned earlier, you'll be unpacking this issue at the second International Driverless Vehicle Summit later this year. Kane Blackman with the Insurance Commission of Western Australia. Thank you for your time, mate.
Thanks very much, Nick. Thanks, Trevor.
This podcast brought to you by LG, making your life easier. LG, life's good.